If you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 142, Psalm 142. And I want to read the Psalm. Psalm 142, it's a maskil of David. We'll talk about that in just a minute. When he was in the cave, a prayer, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path in the way where I walk. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these great psalms. Thank you for this 142nd psalm. We pray that you would minister to us with it tonight. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of the time when we get out of here on Wednesday night, I go down and get in my car and drive home and don't give much of a thought to that. But it wasn't true last Wednesday night. It was so foggy I couldn't do that. I don't know how it was when you went that way. John Carr told me it kind of cleared out a little bit there. But going our direction that way, it was tough. And literally, what that fog did is it caused me to pray all the way home. I literally could not see WX Avenue to turn. When I got on the street that I knew was my street, I couldn't find my driveway. I literally am asking God to keep me safe. So in some respects, we could say this, that fog boxed me in, and that fog caused me to pray just going home from prayer meeting. You know, if God is going to make us useful, if God is going to make us powerful, he's going to have to teach us to pray. We're going to have to learn that lesson. Because there's power and strength that is designed to give to us that only comes through prayer. So if God is going to use us, we're going to have to be taught to pray. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Now, Psalm 142 is a psalm of David when he was in the cave. That's what it says at the beginning. I was in the cave. Now, the psalm doesn't tell us what cave he was in. You have a couple of options. We know a couple of stories from David's life when he actually was in a cave. There's that 1 Samuel 22 when he was in the cave of Adullam. That's when he had escaped from the Philistines. He pretended to be insane, and then he escaped to the cave there. It could be that cave, or it could be the cave at En Gedi when Saul was chasing David in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And he got in the cave and he was alone there. Then some other guys showed up in the cave. I'm not sure what cave he's talking about. Could have been one of them. But he decided that he was going to write this psalm. He calls it a maskil, which means he wrote this for teaching purposes. This is a psalm that's designed to make somebody wise. It's a psalm that's designed to be didactic so that you look at the instruction in the psalm and then you grow wise from studying the psalm. That's why he wrote it. Now, since David is in a cave, we can just visualize this. We can assume he's in a dark, damp, lonely cave. And when you go into a cave, you don't have a lot of freedom there. You're boxed in. The reason he's in the cave is because he's being chased in one way or another in order to be killed. Now, I don't know what the darkest and most depressing time of your life is. But I doubt seriously you were alone in a cave because someone was out to kill you. That's about as lonely as it can be. That's about as discouraging as it can be. And that's probably the most depressing situation that anybody could ever imagine. You're hid out in a cave because people want to kill you. This is a great psalm. It's a great psalm when you find yourself feeling alone. It's a great psalm when you find yourself feeling discouraged, when you find yourself in depressing situations. This is the kind of psalm you can turn to that can give you help. This is the kind of psalm you can turn to when you've been out there free in the world and then you get yourself all boxed in by sin. This is the kind of psalm that can tell you that when you have these moments when you're feeling so all alone and you're in a cave-type situation, there is a way out. Psalm 142 is a prayer that David makes for the purpose of bringing his soul out of dark, lonely depression. Now, this is a thing we've seen multiple times as we've gone through the book of Psalms, and that is when he was trapped, no matter what circumstances, he prayed. Whatever situation you find David in, he goes to God and he prays. Now, David was a great man of God, but that doesn't mean just because you're a great man of God that you don't go through dark times. And it doesn't mean you don't end up being depressed. Just because somebody's right with God does not mean everything is always happy in life. And when some people get depressed, they just look in all the wrong places to get out of the depression. Some people think about taking some medication. Some people think about ending their lives. Some people think, I'll just go to a bar and belly up to the bar. That's going to help me. That's not what David thought. When he got into these depressing moments, he thought about praying to God. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said, caves make good closets for prayer. So when we find ourselves in the dark places, when we find ourselves in the depths of anguish, thinking and feeling as if we're all alone, things are dark, things are scary, that's when we need to cry out to God. In fact, I'm convinced that's what God wants us to do. That's probably why he let us get in those situations. He wants us coming to him in prayer. I want you to notice three times in these verses, it is emphasized that David cries to the Lord. Verse 1, I cry aloud with my voice. Verse 5, I cried out to you. Verse 6, give heed to my cry. There are two different Hebrew words that are used here. The word that is used in verses 1 and 5 is the Hebrew word zahak. This particular Hebrew word specifically means to cry out because there's real sorrow and hurt. Very real sorrow and hurt. This is not imagined stuff. This is real. The second word that's used there in verse 6, renah, is a word that speaks of a very emotional, mournful wailing. Now, as a parent, you know, when your children scream out and you know it's real and you know it's emotional and they're crying out to you, I mean, as a parent, you're right there. You want to know what's going on. It touches your heart. God's the same way. When his people scream out to him and cry out to him because of very real threats and very real intimidations and hurts, he's right there to listen. When you combine these two words together, what we see is David was very, very low emotionally. He was emotionally and verbally crying out to God because, frankly, his circumstances were depressing. He was alone in a dark, dingy cave. And there are four steps to him getting out of the prayer. Step number one, he verbally cries out to God. Verse 1. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. Now, when I read through the passage tonight, before we started studying it, I tried to emphasize the first person pronoun I that was used multiple times in the psalm. It's used a couple times in verse 1, a couple times in verse 2, again in verse 3, a couple times in verse 5. It's used again in verse 6 and verse 7. Now, the reason why David uses that personal pronoun is because he's trying to tell us you must pray personally when you're in dark times. You must pray personally. See, my faith won't get you out of your cave. Your faith won't get me out of my cave. God can get me out of my cave. God can get you out of your cave. And the way that you have to tap into the strength and power that can actually deliver you is through prayer. Now, there's something to be said for corporate prayer. We were just referring to that in our prayer group tonight. What a privilege it is to get together and pray for people who want us to pray for them. But I'm telling you this, that does not replace personal, private prayer to the Lord. God wants individuals as individuals crying out to Him personally. And that's what David did. That's why you see the emphasis on the personal pronoun, I did this. I prayed. I cried out. And look carefully at the emphasis that David makes. I cried out with my voice. With my voice. That's interesting because this isn't just mental prayer. Lots of times when I go to bed at night, I'll just lay my head on my pillow and I'll kind of mentally, quietly commune with the Lord. I'm sure many of you do that too. But that's what I do. This isn't that. I mean, this is David audibly crying out to God. I mean, he's actually using his voice, like I'm using my voice to teach this. He's actually using his voice to cry out to the Lord. He literally using his voice to cry out to God. So here's what you have here. You've got him alone in a cave, probably has nobody to talk to except God. So what he does is he verbally cries out to the Lord using his voice. He's praying out loud. And he's not just praying out loud. He's very emotional as he prays out loud. Now, I think many people miss this critical fact. They just miss this. They become depressed. They get themselves into some state of depression. And then they want to crawl into some shell or cave and not talk to anybody. Many of them will wallow in their self-pity and misery. And they just stay in that depression. What David did when he found himself in that condition was literally, verbally, cry out to God and talk to God. He used his voice. He used his voice to talk to the Lord. He used his voice to bring his supplications to God. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us looking to Him. God wants us crying out to Him. So when you're going through some tough times, when you get emotionally low, go talk to God. Talk to God. There's no sense rambling to somebody else because they can't get you out of the dark depression. If you're in a cave experience where things are boxing you in and you're surrounded with no way out, you can't talk to anybody who can get you out of that. God can. God has enough power to do that. And that's what David knew. I mean, this is about as bad as it gets. He's held up in some cave, not even knowing if he's going to get out. So he goes to the Lord and cries out to Him. That's the first step for David to get out of this depression. Secondly, he describes his real trouble to God in verses 2 to 4. David did not hold back one thing when he talked to God. I mean, this guy had a relationship with God. He would talk to God about anything. Notice verse 2, I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, You knew my path and the way where I walk. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There's no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. David talked to God. He went to God. He brought all of his complaints and troubles to the Lord. In fact, the text says he poured out his complaint. We could use kind of a rough way of saying this. He just literally spilled his guts to the Lord. He spelled it out. Now, this is not grumbling or griping. He's actually just talking to God about some very real troubles. One reason why I don't think too many pray like this is they think they can handle it themselves. They think they can just figure it out. They'll get out of it. They'll come up with some scheme to get out of it. So they don't go to the Lord. This should be the first person we should go to in low moments is the Lord and ask Him for His grace and mercy. God is willing to answer when one complains to Him, but He won't answer when one complains about Him. God's people have a right to go to the Lord and talk to the Lord and ask Him for help. But you start going to God and blaming God for the problems, that's a whole different ballgame. Now, David had an open, honest relationship with the Lord, and he was not covering or hiding. He was hurting, and he honestly talks to God about it. So he says to God, I declared my trouble to him. And that word trouble is an interesting word because it's a Hebrew word that means David was literally being restricted and boxed in. And he's talking to God about this. He's literally pouring out his complaints to God that are literal and real. And he told him exactly what was binding him in and what was bothering him. Now look, let me just say this. Why would any person who's in their right mind go to some godless counselor and pay money to try to get out of depression when you can go to Almighty God who designed you and designed your mind? Why would you do that? When you can go talk to the Lord, it doesn't make any sense. But I tell you this, most people won't do what David does. Most people won't go to God. Why don't you just go to the Lord privately, get alone with God, nobody around, just you and God. Use your voice to talk to God, tell Him all your troubles. Tell Him what's bothering you. Tell Him why you're depressed. Why don't you do that? That's what David did. You know, I recently told someone, let me tell you this. I said, there's a big difference between Christian counseling and biblical counseling. They're two separate issues. Christian counseling tries to incorporate some secular psychology and stuff into it. Biblical counseling says, here's what the Word of God says. Here are your options, A, B, C. Pick the one you want if you want to please God. Pick this one. Big difference. And what David did, when he found himself in a depressed state, he went right to God and started talking to God. I'll tell you, a lot of people would have things cleaned up in their lives if they did that. If they just went to God and verbally talked to God. In verses 3 and 4, he describes some of the trouble that overwhelmed him. And one of the things he says in verse 3 that I find very fascinating, you knew my path. You knew my path. That's important. David was aware of the fact God knew the truth. He felt weak. He was overwhelmed. In fact, he says that. He says, my spirit was overwhelmed within me, and God, you know my path. I'm not making this stuff up, he says to God. I'm not standing here talking to you, making up some delusional case that isn't real. You know the path I've been on here. You know I'm in this cave. You know exactly why I'm in this cave. You know what's brought about this situation. He said, you understand that, God, because you've watched me. He makes that assumption when he's talking to God. God sees him. God knows him. David was hurting. He had a legitimate right to hurt, and he knew that God saw that. You know, so many people just invent their own depression based on things that aren't even real. I've seen that so many times. It's not dealing with reality. I mean, they're just inventing things in their own minds. Some of these things aren't even real. They're not dealing honestly. If you're going to cry out to God, you're going to have to tell them the truth. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because God has seen the path. And there are five realities that David brings out. Number one, God knew the path on which David walked. That's what he says. You knew my path in the way where I walk. God knew David was interested in walking on right paths. Didn't always do it, but he knew the path that David wanted to walk on. He lived his life in light of the Word of God. He walked, for the most part, on paths of righteousness. And that's a critical key to having this kind of conversation with the Lord. I mean, you can't be going to God and asking God to get you out of your rut if you're walking in sin. I mean, if you're living in sin, God isn't going to get you out of that rut until you face that issue. So, God sees everything that's going on in our life, and God's not going to get somebody out of depression if they're walking on a path that's sinful and unrighteous. In fact, that's probably why they're in depression. But if one is walking on paths that please the Lord, God stands ready to intervene and help. When it comes to trouble in our lives, it starts when God wants it to start. It ends when God wants it to end. And as we experience this, God monitors where we're walking, what we're doing in life. And if God sees, man, they're walking right, they're walking in accordance with my word, then we find ourselves boxed in. We have every right, just like David, to go to God and say, look, here are my troubles. God, I'm going to lay them out before you here. I need your help here. I need your intervention here. And you know I'm walking on right paths. Secondly, God knew David's enemies had tried to trap him. That's what he says in verse 3. They've hidden the trap for me. I mean, David is not inventing this stuff. He said, God, you know who my enemies are. They're trying to bring me down. They're setting these little traps. And for David, they literally were trying to take his life. That's why he's in the cave. He's in the cave because they're out there trying to sneak up on him, to ambush him, to kill him. I mean, that's what Saul wanted to do. He wanted to kill David. Thirdly, God knew David was alone. Look at verse 4. Look to the right and see, for there's no one who regards me. He says, God, look to the right. There's nobody there here. There's nobody here to help me. And if there were some in the cave with him, because we know ultimately when he fled from Saul and went into that cave, after he was there a few days, some soldiers basically showed up that were on his side. Still, and probably he's praying this before they got there, but he's saying, look, Lord, I don't have anybody here that'll help me in this. Nobody. I'm all alone here. I mean, even though this was a spiritual man, he said, I'm all alone. You know, when you're all alone and it's just you and God, that's a good place to be. That's a great place to be. And when everyone else is gone and you're surrounded by a lonely experience, you can be sure this God is there. The third reality is God knew that David had no escape. He says in verse 4, there's no escape for me. I mean, keep in mind, David is one of the best military minds that ever lived. We're not talking here about a guy who doesn't know survival. This guy knew how to survive in the mountains. He knew how to survive in caves. Apparently, in this case, there was no way out. There was no other exit. He couldn't slip off into the shadows and get away. He was apparently in this cave. There was no means of him escaping. He had no way out. David knew it, and he says, God, you know it too. You know this situation here. Fifthly, God knew David had no one to care for his soul. Verse 4, no one cares for my soul. David says, God, you're my only hope. There's no one else looking out for me. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in depression like this, or if you've ever been in a dark place like this, but I can tell you this, in those moments you need to cry out to God. Because no one will care for you, can care for you like Jesus. He's willing to strengthen your soul in your hour of need. But in order for that to happen, you must personally cry out to the Lord. Which brings us to the third step. He verbally cried out to God to acknowledge his special relationship with God. Verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. David went to the Lord and he says, God, you're it. You're it. You're my ability to survive in this land of the living. And if you don't answer this prayer, I'm going to the land of the dying. David was admitting his total dependency on the Lord for survival. God alone was David's protection. God alone was David's security. And you know, I think God loves it when his people come to him and tell him that. We've seen that theme many, many times throughout this book of Psalms. You're our refuge, you're our strength. That theme just keeps coming up. Why does God want us to keep reading about that? Because he loves it. When we come to him and realize, Lord, we're totally depending on you. You're our strength. You're our support. We're not our own strength. God's our strength. Too many people think it's all about them to be able to succeed, when in fact it's God who gave us the very life we have. He's the one who's given us everything we have. And God wants us, I'm convinced, acknowledging there's no hope except by relying on his grace and mercy. I think God wants us to acknowledge that, of course, obviously, when we come to salvation. We have to come to that realization. In fact, this is a great psalm to use. in regard to salvation. When you find yourself completely dark and surrounded in sin, your only hope is to cry out to the Lord for salvation. That's it. That's the only way you can be saved, by relying on the grace and mercy of God. But God also wants people who are already His people relying upon His grace and mercy. That's what He did here. David said, "Look, Lord, I've been walking with You for a long time. You're my refuge. You're the one who's going to keep me alive. You're the one that I'm trusting." The fourth step is he verbally cries out to God and specifically asks God to bring him out of his depression. Notice verse 6. "Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me." David asked God to answer his prayer and bring him out of depression, and there are six reasons why. Number one, David says, I'm just low. It's an interesting word. He was very low. He was in serious trouble. There are a lot of things that we'll face in life that will bring you low. Sickness. Lose your reputation. Desertion. Bitter disappointment, sin, lose your job, lose a loved one, lose your sense of worth. Those are all things that can bring you low. That's one of the best times to cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord. Secondly, David was surrounded by persecutors. He said, I need to get out of this. This is my world, he says in verse 6. I'm surrounded by persecutors and I need your help. Thirdly, he said, I'm not strong enough to beat them. He says at the end of verse 6, they're too strong for me. I'm outnumbered. He was a tough warrior. Don't make no mistake about this. This guy's a tough man. But he knows his limitations. You're not talking here about some whiny, sniveling guy. He knew, I don't have any more strength. I'm in the cave and I'm done. I have no way out other than you, the Lord. Fourthly, I find this amazing. He wants to give thanks to God. Now, this is so interesting. He's asking God, please deliver me. Deliver me so that I may give thanks to your name. Isn't that phenomenal? That tells you a lot about this man's spirituality. If God would bring him out of this rut, he would give thanks to God. David wanted deliverance. He doesn't say, bring me out of my rut so I can be happy. Now that's what most of us would think. We're depressed. Bring me out of this rut so I can be happy. David says, bring me out of this low rut so I can give you thanks. I want to be able to thank you, Lord, for seeing you do it. So he says, Lord, please set me free. Not long ago, I had an opportunity just recently to talk with someone who just got off parole. It was the very day that they had just got off parole. They no longer have to report. They have a clean record. The slate's been cleaned. They're off parole. He was just happy. He was elated. I shook his hand. I said, congratulations. He said, I'll never go back there again. I'm free. He was just so thankful that it was all over. That's what David wanted to do to the Lord. He wanted to just thank him that it was all over. So what he says is, God, deliver me because I can give thanks to you. And then he says, fifthly, I want to be surrounded by the righteous people. Verse 7, the righteous will surround me. If you'll deliver me from this cave experience, then I can hang out with righteous people. And by the way, that's important. Don't hang out with spiritual duds. They'll pull you down. Get away from them. Hang out with righteous people. People that are serious about the Word. People that are going someplace. They're the ones that will keep you encouraged. And finally, David would be bountifully blessed of the Lord. He said, for you will deal bountifully with me. He knew that he would be bountifully blessed of the Lord. There are three practical lessons I leave you with tonight. Number one, When you find yourself depressed, verbally talk to God. Don't get on the phone or on texting and talk to other people. Verbally talk to God. That's the quickest way out of depression. Secondly, if you're in a dark, depressed state, go to God and tell Him. I mean, pinpoint the issue. Go right to the Lord, you alone with God, and you just talk to God about it. Tell Him exactly the situation. And thirdly, if you are in a depressed state, don't isolate yourself in a cave. I mean, if you have the option, and you're not boxed into the cave, get out with righteous people who love the Word of God. Get back into the fellowship of the Word of God with the people of God who love the Scriptures. That's the way of getting out of depression. That's what David teaches here in Psalm 142. Well, our time is long gone tonight.